Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing news and feedback. There's a crossover episode confirmed. That's pretty freaking awesome.
All that right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name's Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeff Randall, we have so much TV news happening
right
now.
Like, holy crap, there's so much.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's get right into these stories. We have some really cool stuff happening that I don't think we've mentioned really any of this on the show yet.
Well, we haven't really had time to talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, so much other stuff has been happening and going on. So the San Diego Comic-Con stuff happened. We talked about all the big movie stuff, but we really didn't get to touch on much of the TV. A few of the things that have either from San Diego Comic-Con or that have come out since is Runaways and Cloak and Dagger will be having a crossover episode. What do you think, man?
Man, I'm excited. Because I like both of the shows, but I'm also kind of weary or leery of it because the Runaways just kind of went in a weird direction at the end of it. But, like, if it was the whole team of the Runaways plus Cloak and Dagger, then like it would be amazing to just see all that team up happening. But then, like, we've got people taken over in weird ways at the end of the Runaways season 2. And, like, this is going to be happening during the season 3 release. So, like, people are still going to be taken over. Like, we've got team members that are not on the team. And yeah, that's distressing. Like, I don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's always interesting to have these crossovers and where you put them and why. And I don't know if this was a real planned out thing, but it is going to be a weird place to have them show up and just kind of be a part of the Runaways world. So it is going to happen as a Runaways episode, as a Cloak and Dagger episode, or is it going to happen on both?
It looks like it's going to happen as Runaways episodes.
Okay. Which we absolutely called this, by the way. Last season of Cloak and Dagger, they get on a bus and you don't know where they're going. And we were like, I hope they're going to LA. And apparently they are, and that's awesome.
Yep. So it's going to be on their season 3 release, like I said, which is coming out December 13th. All 10 episodes are dropping on December 13th, apparently. Good Lord. The Runaways are going to be searching for their captured friends Chase Stein, Gert Yorks, and Carolina Dean.
Did you say all 10 are dropping at the same time? I'm sorry.
That's what this article says. And this is on Marvel.com.
That sounds like it's a legit source then.
It's kind of the guys that do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought, you know how much I love the Marvel Netflix stuff, but I thought we were done with the binge watching for a while because those are very hard weeks for us. Cause we try to do an episode a day and the weekly thing is way easier to keep up with.
Yeah.
So, I guess we're not done with that. I guess we're getting Runaways all at once.
Yep.
Cool.
Here we go. Oh, man. Just reading this article it's astonishing how much they released on this. So, the kids go head-to-head with an, quote-unquote, unstoppable enemy who has targeted Leslie, or more accurately, the child she's carrying. Nico Minoru draws them all into a dark realm where its ruler, Morgan Le Fay, played by Elizabeth Hurley, is much more nefarious than anyone the kids have yet to face.
Oh, wow. That's neat. Elizabeth Hurley's going to be in there. Man, that all sounds awesome. I'm excited. I don't know. We love a crossover. It's why we're here, basically. The fact that this entire universe is a crossover. And so I'm pumped that we're going to get a crossover in that small corner of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, honestly, we were saying, like, maybe they're on a bus to LA, but they don't necessarily have to be, because Cloak can go literally anywhere.
That's true. Well, we don't really know what are the limits of his power, right? Like, how far can he, you know, bounce around? We just don't know.
I don't know. Maybe that dark dimension that he has access to is that dark dimension ruled by Morgan Le Fay, and something causes him to be drawn that direction to help out this kid. I don't know, man. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Who knows? Who knows?
No, that was a dumb idea. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody.
Well, the next piece of news, this is not TV news, and I've saved it for a second because it is definitely not confirmed in any way, but they are rumoring that Namor may be the villain for Black Panther 2.
Oh, man.
What do you think?
Oh, man. I like that idea because Wakanda and Atlantis are they warring or are they just rivals or they just don't like each other? Either way, they're hidden kingdoms that are not friends in the comics. So having those two guys go at it, this is like king on king kind of action, which is, and they're both warrior kings. So like there's that certain regalness to the fight that has to happen, but they're both badasses. So it's going to be an amazing clash between those two. And Namor is perfect for being an antagonist because, like, he's a villain sometimes. Like, there are times where he is straight up a villain to the walking world.
Right. Well, that's what's so, so interesting about the last few years of Marvel movies. They've done a really, and TV, they've done a really good job of making characters that aren't necessarily just villains. There's very little mustache twirling happening these days. They try to, they make them villains. They're wrong in most cases in some way, but they, they're not thin. They're not thin characters. You understand where they're coming from, and that's what I want out of my villains. So I hope Namor is super interesting.
I almost made a terrible joke, mostly just for the pun value, when you said they're not thin, and I was like, oh no, some of them have fins. beside the point. Having Namor, though, to have him come up and have him be, you know, the character that he is, where it's, you know, he's willing to do anything for his nation, right? It's his people. He's doing good for his people, and what he does to do good for his people are not necessarily good things for everyone else. So having that kind of almost Loki level identification with the villain or the antagonist is going to be amazing for that story. And I'm really hoping that we see another Killmonger level performance from that sort of clash.
Yeah, for sure. We got a feedback somewhere mixed in the feedback today that is speculating that Killmonger could return with Namor, and that I love that idea. But we'll get to that in a bit. Now the other news that we had that came out, I think this was out of San Diego Comic-Con. They've got two Marvel horror series coming: Ghost Rider and Hellstrom.
Oh yeah, we reported on that. I shared an article about that. That was before San Diego Comic Con. Cool. But at the time, we didn't know if it was going to be, like, it was coming straight to Hulu. We didn't know if it was going to be crossing over with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And apparently, like, Jeff Loeb said specifically that it's not going to cross over with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which to us, everybody who's a fan is like, but why though? Because Robbie Reyes is amazing.
Yeah, maybe we did talk about that on the show because I remember talking about Ghost Rider. I don't remember talking about Hellstrom, which I know nothing about Hellstrom. Nothing about that character.
He's the son of Satan.
Okay.
Which is like cool. Which is great for a horror story, right?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, and he's super powerful, so it's going to be difficult to really make him have a conflict, so to speak. But that's the one I'm a little bit worried about. But I'm not worried about Ghost Rider in that we've already seen him. You know, we've already seen what Ghost Rider can be with a TV budget if you just have good writers on it.
Yeah. And you do it in pods.
It in pods with Gabriel Luna.
This is maybe the most interesting. Well, no, they're all interesting, but like, this is super fun, this piece of news. These are probably not going to be in the MCU, but they have announced 5 new animated series coming to Hulu Plus. They are Howard the Duck, and I believe that one is being helmed by Kevin Smith, which is I think, a great fit. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that is a perfect fit, but...
For what they're doing, I think it's a great, great fit. Howard the Duck, MODOK, Hitmonkey... MODOK? Hitmonkey, which is a monkey assassin from Marvel Comics. Tigra and Dazzler is going to be the fourth series. And then those will all come together to form a mega team called the Offenders.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm loving that, man. I think that sounds super fun. And I love that they're basically making a parody of themselves like 6 years later.
Yep.
They made the same announcement for the Defenders basically like 6 years ago, and now they're gonna make a parody version of that. And still, if I know Marvel, they're going to take that crossover stuff seriously, and they're going to build this whole canon of characters, and I am super excited about it.
Now, you did mention that these are animated. This is adult animation.
Yes.
Coming from Marvel Television on Hulu.
Yes, adult animation on Hulu Plus.
Oh man, that's really funny.
Yeah. Like that, it's so related to the MCU, we might end up covering some of that, even though it is probably not MCU.
That's funny. Yeah, we'll have to have some sort of Marvel Cinematic Universe adjacent line.
Yeah, if we'll see what's going on when they release that, if we have any time to watch it and talk about it. But surely we'll at least be getting some feedback and talking about it. We'll see. Yeah. Last piece of TV news, and this one's the most early stages thing, but it's super cool. Phil Lord and Chris Miller, Lord and Miller of Lego Movie fame, and they were also producers on Into the Spider-Verse. So they're working on a couple of projects that include a handful of live action shows using Sony's Marvel characters.
Yeah, they've got 900 or so
yes.
characters to work with there.
Sony still has the rights to live action, 900 live action characters. We're going to get to see what they do with that pantheon of characters, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we've already gotten things like Venom, and there has been, you know, the rumored Black Cat, Silver Sable spinoff that didn't go anywhere, kind of died out.
Yeah, well, I've heard fairly recently that might be a series, so I wonder if that's some of the same things here. Like, I think they might be moving some of those big movie plans over to the TV side of Sony, which I think could be fun. I don't know. I kind of like that better than them trying to make these big movies that are going to be direct competitors to the MCU while still sort of half being in the MCU if they're going to cross over with Venom, you know?
Yeah, but Venom's not MCU. And
we don't know that. If it crosses over with Spider-Man, Tom Holland's Spider-Man, it's basically in the MCU, you know?
It's not, though. Like, Kevin Feige specifically in interviews was like, no, that is not part of our MCU.
That's what he said, but then recently he came out and said that he acknowledges that there will probably be a Venom and Spider-Man crossover.
Yeah, I mean,
if you cross them over, that puts them in the same universe. If they're still the same Tom Holland Spider-Man, and you could say, like, hey, it's Tom Holland Spider-Man of Earth 615 or whatever, you know, like a slightly different Earth. But if it's the same Tom Holland Spider-Man hanging out with Tom Hardy Venom, then that kind of puts it in the universe, which I'm surprised that Marvel got surprised by that. It seems like Kevin Feige didn't want that to happen. You'd think they would have covered that in all the deals that they made.
Yeah.
But apparently they didn't.
You would think. I think what he meant by the, if there's bound to be a Venom crossover, is like, well, once we're done with this deal, you know, it's still their character and they're going to do what they're going to do. And
yeah,
they're probably going to cross it over.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm not as excited about it as some people are, and I'm just kind of really disappointed in Sony at this point. Like, why would you?
They're just trying to make their money, man.
They're trying to get their dollar bills. I know, but they're flooding the market so that I have to talk to plebeians all day who don't know about all this stuff that are just like, well, but what about Wonder Woman? Like, no, I had that conversation, Matt. I am not even in the slightest kidding. One of my coworkers thought that Wonder Woman was part of the MCU because Wonder Woman was a good movie.
Did I tell you about the toy that I ordered that came in?
You're going to have to clarify because it sounds like you're ordering adult items.
I ordered a Hulkbuster armor. And in the description, it said it was a 1/12 scale Hulkbuster armor.
Yeah.
Which meant it was like a foot and a half tall.
Right.
And it was all cast iron, like this big metal thing, you know?
That's crazy.
And I got it. They were selling it on this website for really cheap, way cheaper than it was going for. So I bought it. It came in, and it was not that at all. It was like 5 inches tall. It was poorly painted plastic, and it was clearly like a knockoff. And if you looked at it closely, it said the Avengers or something like that. It was not the right thing. And then you turn it over and it showed the Avengers on the back, and it was Iron Man. It was actually pictures from the movies, you know, like Photoshopped together. And it was like Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Black Widow, and Batman.
Oh, man.
It's one of my favorite things I've ever gotten. It's great. I immediately got my money back from PayPal because I bought. It was definitely not what I ordered, but like,
so bad.
It was so bad. I just love that Batman, it says the Avengers, and it has all of them on the back, including Batman, my favorite Avenger.
Yep. He's the Avenger that will save us all.
Yeah.
Oh God, well, that's so bad.
Let's dive into feedback, man. We're going to run through as much of this feedback as we can today. So this feedback that we're doing today is some of its recent stuff, and we tried to pull as much as we could from the humongous page. Like, we have about 100 pages of feedback that people sent in over the last 2 months that we just, in our hours a week of casting, we have not been able to get to. So I tried to go through it and filter it and edit it down today and get to as much as we can. So we'll probably continue to do that over the next 2 weeks. We just have so much, and I deleted anything that just wasn't relevant anymore or I didn't think would spur on conversation. So if we don't get to your stuff, I'm sorry about that, but we had to edit it down so we can get to some people's stuff. Matt,
we need to keep all of it. I have a great idea.
Okay.
I have a fantastic idea, and I have to say it out loud right now.
Go for it.
I want to build a bot that has cognitive functions, you know, built into it so that it can listen to our podcast. We're going to force it to listen to every single episode of our podcast.
Build AI versions of me and you.
And then it's going to respond to all of the unresponded to messages, all of the feedback. And then we're going, and it's just going to put it out into text. And then we're going to read it like a script.
Nice.
Yep.
I think that's a bad idea.
No, it's going to be a great idea.
If anybody wants to help build the Jeff and Matt bot, you let us know. I don't think that's either of our expertise.
It's not. I mean, it's a little bit outside of my expertise, but not that far.
All right.
All right. So 084 said to us, talking about our movie rankings episode where we ranked all of the MCU movies, he said, at MCU cast, your guys' voice go up an octave when you disagree with each other's rankings, but don't want to say more than, okay.
That is definitely accurate.
That is. I tried to mimic that whole disagreement, okay.
Yeah, okay, okay, whatever.
All right, whatever.
Yeah, sure, fine. Yeah.
That's fine, I don't want to talk about it. Oh, man. Also about that episode, Yoda Hughes said, Adam's UCAS. Guys, where was Ant-Man and the Wasp in your list? I don't recall hearing it at any point.
Let's see. Ant-Man and the Wasp was number 15, apparently.
15.
Number 15. So, yeah. I think I ranked it 16, you ranked it 15th or something. So, it like, we ranked it. That was one of the few that were very close.
You mean one of the few that was correct?
Yeah, on your side.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's correct. Anthony hit us up on Twitter, said, at MCU cast, calling my shot for the next hashtag Avengers team. Black Panther, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, and Captain Marvel is the core four. Plus, Scarlet Witch and Yelena Belova to round out the six-pack, with possible backup from Jane Foster as the Mighty Thor.
Hmm. Nice. Nice.
I would watch the hell out of that movie.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
I'd watch the hell out of most of these movies.
I think Black Panther and Spider-Man are going to be on the team for sure for a while. And, you know, see, Captain Marvel, I think they definitely plan to, but she hasn't had as positive a reaction as some. But I think they will have her on there for a while. I'm really hoping Jane Foster's Thor, Mighty Thor, does well. Because yeah, I really like Natalie Portman a lot, in a lot of things. You know?
I do. I think that she could do really well with that. She's, you know, she's got the acting chops, especially. And she could, I think that she could have some fun with that sort of role and kind of do the movie that sends the message that she wants. Because, you know, she's more of the artiste when it comes to what pieces that she does. But she throws herself into it. And I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
You know?
Me too.
Jay DeNoyer said on Twitter, at MCUcast, just listen to the Phase 4 Reactions podcast. Number one, did you notice Howard the Duck coming back through the portals? And two, who would play the new Wolverine?
I definitely didn't notice it on first watch, but I've seen the screenshots of Howard coming through.
Yeah, I did not notice it at all. There was so much going on, and I just completely overlooked Howard.
You have four or five viewings. I think it's like literally a frame or two, so it's, you know, can't be blamed. Who would play the new Wolverine? You know, this week I watched The Boys, Amazon's new series, which was amazing, by the way. I think it is just great. Just great.
Should I watch it?
Yes, absolutely. You should absolutely watch it. And watching it, I was like, man, I could absolutely see Carl Urban as Wolverine.
Yeah, but he already did Scourge.
Yeah, I know.
And he's too tall.
Well, and yeah, but so was
stocky enough.
So was Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman was too tall as well.
Sure, and the characters change over time. Like whatever. I just watching him, I was like, man, he would be great. He's like really good in that, and just the kind of gruffness that he brings to the character in The Boys. I was like, man, he would be a great Wolverine. And then I looked up his age, and he's only like 4 years younger than Hugh Jackman. I was like, oh, never mind. They're not going to go with another guy who only has a couple years left. They're going to want a younger Wolverine.
Yeah, they're definitely going to want to draw that out a bit.
Yeah.
Get as much road time with Wolverine as they can.
Yeah, whoever they bring in to replace Wolverine, anybody they bring in to replace any of these huge roles, they're going to want to keep them for 20 years, you know, or at least 10, like they did with Downey Jr. You know,
yeah, 10 years is a really good run though for that, like doing the same character.
Oh yeah, I mean it's like rare. That? It's really rare that anyone does that.
That's who though? Who could do that? Who do we know that's young and strapping and
Wolverine-like?
Could easily pull off the Wolverine look?
I really don't know. I really don't know. I do think that if he hadn't been Venom, Tom Hardy might be able to pull it off. I think he has that great just the animalistic nature that he played with in Fury Road. He was very, like, I don't know. I could see him as Wolverine in that. But now he's Venom. He's Venom, and he's also Bane. Like, he's already a lot of comic characters.
I'm trying to think, like, what have I seen recently where somebody has been amazing like that?
I don't know, man. I don't have anything off the top of my brain.
If he wasn't so damn pretty, Dacre Montgomery, after watching season 3 of Stranger Things on Netflix, I think that Dacre Montgomery would be amazing.
Which one is he?
He's Billy, the one that got taken over.
Oh, yeah. He is good. I don't know if he has the charisma to me to be Wolverine. I mean, Wolverine doesn't have to have, like, he has a weird kind of charisma. He has to have, like, the sort of, maybe he does. I'm trying to think. He does have sort of that bad boy thing going in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
But in, like, a funny just, way, not
yeah,
like a gruff
way. Yeah,
he's
too damn pretty, though.
He might be too pretty. You might be right.
Yep. I mean, slap some chops on him and he'd probably pull it off, but I don't know. This is a hard one. This is a really difficult one.
It's a tough thing to cast, for sure. And if you're casting it and you're hoping that it lasts for the next 10 to 15 years, then that's a big job.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not a casting director, so hats off to them for the amazing job that Marvel has done with their casting direction.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's see. Next up on our feedback, though, Michelle Nyman said, "You are proposing." Oh, yeah. Here's a quote.
Quote from me and you.
Yeah. Quote. "You're proposing Marvel Hogwarts." Yes. Yes, I am.
That was real funny. He described one of his desired movies he wanted to see made, and he basically described Hogwarts.
It's Avengers Academy.
Academy, you know. But it was like, the way you described it, I don't even remember what was so Hogwarts-like, but something about the way you described it was very Hogwarts. Hogwartsian, if you will.
Hogwarts-ish, Hogwarts-esque, Hogwarts-adjacent, no?
I don't know. Any of those. Sure.
Sure. Yeah, sure. We got a link from Jordan Boudway.
It's just a YouTube video of that.
A minute long.
Someone saying Mahershala Ali. Thank you. It's a pronunciation guide to Mahershala Ali. Thank you for that, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Oh, man. Let's see. Andre Spark said to us, "It's crazy, I know, but I just finished season 2 of Runaways. Did you all notice Nico looked like the Doctor Strange villain when she used the staff the last 2 episodes? Crazy."
Yeah. That was great. And that movie came out right around the same time that was going on the show. So it was very, she was drawing power from the dark energy or whatever. And it was like the same thing that was happening to the guys in the movie that were doing that. And so it was really cool.
No, it didn't.
Didn't it? Yeah, it did.
No, it did not.
Not too far after.
Doctor Strange came out in 2016. Huh? All of that happened last year.
Right. Exactly. 2016. All right, fine. I'm just wrong. I just remember it being pretty close because we were talking about it, but maybe.
Yeah, 2 years apart. Yep.
All right, fine.
Very close.
Fine. Anyway, yeah, I totally saw that. I think we talked about it at the time. Yeah, totally a neat pull there that they like tied those things together so well.
Yep. Let's see. He also says, "By the way, are you guys surprised about the Cloak and Dagger Runaways crossover?" Peace.
We are not surprised. We called it as soon as they got on that bus.
You should go and listen to yesterday's cast because we talk all about it.
Oh, that was the same cast.
Was it the same one?
Yeah.
You should go listen to earlier in this episode today.
Listen to the thing you just listened to.
You should listen to it again, sir.
You clearly didn't hear us, even though you wrote that weeks ago.
Oh, man, we're doing great today.
Yeah. So sometimes we record 2 episodes at a time.
Top notch. John Hyde sent us an email. "Greetings, true believers. First time writing in, I just want to say a few things. Thought on the new movies from Marvel. Everyone is thinking that the Eternals movie will become Fantastic Four or X-Men, but what if they're all wrong? What if the movie's a Namor movie? To me, it makes sense. In Endgame, when Black Widow's special group is having a meeting, Okoye talks about an undersea earthquake. This could have been Namor's doing, because in the comics, the Atlanteans are enemies with the people of Wakanda. Also, this would be a way to introduce mutants. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Wakanda forever!"
My main thought on this is I think it's very funny because no one thinks the Eternals movies is an Eternal movie.
Right.
Like, I went, when I was reading this feedback, he's like, what if they're all wrong? And I was like, oh, maybe he's just saying, what if they're making an Eternals movie?
No. And what if it's this other thing?
What if it's a third possible thing instead of the thing that no one has asked for? The thing is, like, I do think it's very possible it's just an Eternals movie. But if it's not, I guess Namor is as good as anything. The only thing is, I think that it being a team, one of the other team movies like Fantastic Four or X-Men makes sense because the Eternals is kind of a team movie, with a big cast like that. And a Namor movie seems like it would be a little more focused. And so all of the casting decisions and stuff would seem to be parallel if it turns out they're all, you know, a different team.
Yeah, yeah, it could be. I'm going to throw another one out there, though.
All right, do it.
What if it's the Inhumans?
Oh, gosh. It's not.
What if it's door number 6? Still not the Eternals.
Yeah, what if it's anything but the Eternals? I love that. So funny. It's probably just the Eternals, and we're all just speculating for no reason. It's just they got so much properties back with the Fox merger that we're like, surely they're not going to make an Eternals movie. Like, what are they doing?
We need to have, like, a little spinner type gif that's just like, what movie is the Eternals movie actually going to be? Yeah. And then, like, you just stop it wherever.
Yeah, we need someone who can program some things, and including this next thing that Aaron Haker says to us.
Okay. Aaron Haker says, hey guys, I just finished your episode on ranking all 23 movies. I was thinking that you could have all the listeners create their own rankings, and then I'd be willing to average them all out. I don't know how feasible it is, but I figured as people send in their rankings, you could just forward them on to me, and we could create the ultimate MCU movie rankings. Let me know what you think. Also, if you need ideas for commissioned episodes, I've got an idea. You could rank all of the main heroes according to how powerful they are. You could then do villains, too, if you wanted. It'd be very interesting to see how varied your individual lists would be and see how they'd fight across both of your lists. Third place battles, the other third place, etc. Have a great weekend.
That does sound like a lot of fun to rank the power levels, because it's similar to what we do with ranking the people or the movies, but those little like tiebreakers would be really interesting. You're like, no, he would win because of this. No, he would win because of this. It's like, dude, the same conversation we've been having since we were 6 or whatever, you know?
Exactly. It's dumping out our toy box.
Yeah. Yeah.
We dump out our toy box and have them fight. And that's exactly what Endgame was, except that, you know, it was all of them fighting against Thanos. But like this episode that he's talking about would absolutely be like, smash my toys together and see which one would come out on top.
Yeah. So here's what I think we should get done. I don't know how to do this, but it doesn't sound very complicated. We should figure out if anybody out there is a programmer, and because this just doesn't sound very hard to program to me. I may be wrong. I may be totally wrong. But is there a way to do a multiple person, multiple factor, like app or a program where we could put in all 23, let people send in their rankings, and then the program just averages them and keeps a running tally on our website or something.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely possible, and it doesn't even sound very complicated. It's probably something that if I spent 2 months learning programming, I could do it in a night, but I don't know how to learn. I don't know programming. So if anybody out there does and wants to help us put that together, hit us up, because I think that we could absolutely do it with the way that Aaron says, just manually. But I think it'd be really cool if we just had a page on our website that was like, you know, fill out, rank the movies yourself, and then we're going to get the overall rankings, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the hardest part of that would be the UI. I mean, making it the look
user interface,
pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, making it look pretty would be the hardest part. I mean, there's also, like, trying to combat people just spamming, you know, I want Iron Man 3 to be the number one, and just going and doing over, you know, doing it over and over again. You know, you've got to stop that kind of
manipulation,
that kind of
trolling or whatever.
And that kind of negative manipulation.
Yeah,
if we,
you know, maybe we would need to stop that, or maybe we could just say it's on the, you know, the whatever the honor system. Which obviously that's not great on the internet, but I imagine everybody's, I was about to say, nobody's wanting to cheat this thing. We all want to know what everybody thinks. And then I remembered there's people like you, Jeff, and you would absolutely move your top ones to the top over and over.
I don't have to, sir. My top ones are the top ones.
All right, fine. But anyway, I do think that's a fun idea. And if anybody wants to help us, or if anyone wants to, honestly, if anybody wants to program that app, like, we would tell everybody to go do it. And maybe
I thought you were gonna be like, I would pay you money to do that, or like give you a sandwich or something, but you were we would tell people to go there.
Well, but this thing, if somebody made a Android app and that it was like ad supported or something, and then we got everyone to go do it, like, you know, maybe it could get pushed up in the whatevers. I don't know.
You're so great at marketing applications.
I know nothing about it, man. It's not my expertise. I'm just saying, I think it's a good idea. Let's out there, write us in if you know how to do it.
Absolutely. So Thomas McNeil responded to our talk of The Boys, because we've been talking about The Boys here and there, like, you know, me asking, should I watch it? And you saying, yes, absolutely. Here comes Tommy saying, The Boys, a superhero show on Amazon, is freaking awesome. Maybe the best superhero show ever. I know, it's saying a lot.
I don't dispute him.
Oh,
I think that Daredevil's better. But
The Boys, there it is, I heard it.
The Boys does some bold things that you know, Daredevil and Punisher weren't trying to do. But The Boys is really fun in a way that those shows are not. And it's also really good superhero stuff. It's also pretty gory in places and darker even than The Punisher, which is saying a lot. And it's a satire. It's a satire on superheroes to some degree, which is fun. It's really fun.
All right. I'll add it to the list.
I do recommend. I would have loved to have done a podcast about it as I was watching it. Honestly, it was really, really good. But I got too many podcasts at this moment. Yeah, man.
You're stretched pretty thin. And you also have, I heard about this job that you have where you're a singer.
Yeah.
And you play music?
Listen to Matthew Carroll at whatever you get music.
Matthew Carroll at whateveryougetmusic.com.
Yeah, that's it.
That's where you go to get the music. I know it sounds like an email address. 084 sent us a message on Twitter at MCUcast. According to the MCU wiki, not official but very thorough, Cloak and Dagger left off in late 2017 and Runaways left off in early 2018 with a cliffhanger. So it's likely this third season with all these characters will continue to take place before Infinity War.
I bet he's right, and I bet they will do that basically all of the seasons that way. Because the way they make these shows, sometimes the events of the show seem like they're actually like a week of time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not doing like a year for every season, which is kind of like the way most shows were made for a long time. They're like, all the events of a season will happen in like a week. So they could do seven seasons of Runaways, and it all only be 2 years or whatever.
Yeah, and you know, they're not doing the typical TV thing where you've got like, oh, this is our Christmas episode this year.
Oh yeah,
and this is our Thanksgiving episode. Like, they're not doing that. So it very easily could take place within, you know, a very short amount of time, unless the characters say something about it. And you know, we were told in Cloak and Dagger season two that it was like 8 months, right? 8 months after the first one,
right?
So, or no, 6 months. It's several months, but not a year after the first one. So, you know, they're just kind of smashing it all together into the before the snap kind of time frame. Still want to see what happens, though. Still want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we got a tweet from Night Monkey.
Love that.
I didn't know that fake European superheroes were on Twitter.
Love it.
Said, at MCUcast, hey y'all, so the Sony/Marvel Spider-Man deal works like this. Sony finances the movie. distributes the movie, and gets full box office proceeds. In return, Marvel gets full creative control, gets Tom Holland in some number of related movies, and retains full merchandising dollars.
Interesting.
There it is. That's a weird deal.
Yeah. It's a smart one on Marvel's part, I guess. They get all the things.
To be fair, it's a smart one on Sony's part, too.
For sure.
Far From Home has already broken a billion.
Yeah, that's... Wow. That's crazy.
Yep. Let's see. 1.1, actually. 1.1 as of today. As of time of recording. Let's see. Next up, Brandon Epler said, didn't know if you guys heard about this or not. Also, do you not like Star Wars? Your last podcast, you said you do a Star Trek podcast as well, but you said Marvel is the only reason you would do Disney Plus. I love Marvel, Star Trek, and Star Wars, so I was surprised you didn't say anything about Star Wars. And sent us a link that was Ryan Reynolds teasing Deadpool in Phase 5.
Yeah, there was a interesting little, like, Ryan Reynolds tease about Phase 5. He says something about the fifth phase of being Deadpool or something like that. And it's people are saying it's a veiled reference to him being in Phase 5. So, yeah, we'll see. We will see. So about Star Wars. What are your thoughts on Star Wars?
Mine?
Yeah.
I mean, I like it well enough.
Same here.
It's not Marvel.
Same here. I like Star Wars. I've enjoyed a lot of the movies over the years, but it's just not my universe. Like I don't know. I don't have the same sort of childhood affection that a lot of people have for it. And I was always, to me, it was always, and, you know, I'm going to get people pissed at me. I know that like Star Trek and Star Wars have always kind of had this sort of back and forth, and I don't think there's anything like that. You can like both, but. I just, the thing I always liked is like the deep continuity. And I know that Star Wars had books, but like so did Star Trek. And like I was so into Star Trek and all of the stuff that, you know, I loved that Star Trek had so many TV series and movies and so much, so deep you could go with it. And by the time I even knew about the like extended universe of Star Wars, it was like, it was already known that like this is kind of canon and this is not really canon and this book happened. If this book happens, this book doesn't happen because they conflict. And I was like, it just didn't seem cohesive to me, so I didn't get into it. I'm just not as, I mean, I really like a good deep universe continuity, which is one of the major reasons we do this show and why I do a Star Trek universe podcast. But Star Wars, you know, they're trying to get all their stuff in order, sort of. And to be honest, I just think Star Wars is a little bit of a... This is where I'm going to get people pissed off at me. I think it's a little simpler of a story. And I know that people will argue me that all day, but like, it's literally like good guys, bad guys. And they're changing that in the newer Star Wars. But like, traditionally, it's very... There's the light side and the dark side, you know? Like, that's why I think growing up, it never interested me. It's just so black and white. I mean, it did interest me. I watched it. Like, but it was just another adventure movie to me. It wasn't like my religion, you know? like for many people, it is.
Yeah, man. I mean, stories about whether or not a giant space jellyfish is allowed to live its own life. That's what's up.
Yeah, totally. That is what's up.
You're right.
Yeah, no.
The Next Generation pilot was amazing.
You know, I love it.
That's fair. First
appearance of Q, man. I love that episode. I mean, yeah, it's like all 80s and weird and not that well acted yet and all that stuff. But like, you know, I love it. I do. That's the thing. I love Star Trek. What I love about it, and it's why I do the Star Trek podcast. It's also why I do the Orville Universe podcast. Which got really weird this week. We got like super political and philosophical on stuff. And like, I haven't edited it yet and I haven't decided how much I'm editing out, because we don't really normally do that on this show for sure. I love things that make you think about your like philosophy, and Star Trek is that. Star Trek is morality tales. Star Wars is not morality tales, in my opinion. At least the earlier stuff is not.
Star Trek, here lately, though, the movies has kind of gone that direction of just being the spectacle, though.
Oh, for sure. J.J. Abrams likes Star Wars, and so he made Star Trek movies that are Star Wars movies. Like, they're just Star Wars movies. Now, the third one turned a corner, and I think it went a little back once J.J. Abrams was working on Star Wars, and Simon Pegg kind of worked a lot on Star Trek. It became a lot more like Star Trek, and there's a actual moral question, and the crew has to make moral decisions, and that's the stuff that interests me.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Yeah.
Alright, well, that aside, I like Star Wars well enough. Matthew Rainwater said to us on Facebook, "Hey guys, can we expect..." God. Okay, I'm going to read this, and it's going to be fine. "Hey guys, can we expect a review of the god-awful X-Men Dark Phoenix? I saw it yesterday and was so disappointed. I found myself not caring at all who lived or died. Sad end to a great franchise."
Well, you know, Matthew, you're selling it so hard, we might have to go see it.
Yeah. Like, you're doing a great job of making me want to go.
No, I probably not. Just for times, maybe we got a lot to catch up on, a lot of feedback to catch up on, a lot of things that to talk about that are MCU related. But who knows? We might get real desperate over these next few months, waiting for December to happen.
I don't know about you, man, but I'm gonna enjoy the downtime.
Right.
Like being able to catch up. Oh my lord.
Yeah, I'm excited to get caught up and not feel like we're always forever we had the policy of always doing every feedback that came in, and I think that's great. I really do. I love doing every bit of feedback we can, but like it with Endgame particularly, it got to the point, and then Spider-Man, it's got to the point where we can't anymore. We actually, I don't know if we've mentioned it on the podcast, we actually hired someone to help us sort through. They're basically helping us round up the feedback and organize it so that we can get through it all. It's not a lot of work. It's actually just my office manager who does a lot of other work for me, but we added a few hours to her weekly work that's just working on MCU cast, keeping the keeping everything sorted in the feedback so that we can get to more of it, because we don't have to spend 3 hours rounding it up and sorting it. So she does that part, and then we actually respond to it. So that's been really helpful. Shout out to Kelly, our new podcast producer.
Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah.
Doing the work that I just don't have the time for.
Yeah, for real. She's kicking ass. So we're actually, a lot of the reason we can do a lot of the stuff we're doing today is because she had a lot of this already sorted for us. And then we got, so that we can get to it and read it without having to go to 15 different sources and finding all the feedback and everything. So
yeah, and you know, continue having families.
Yes, families and jobs and, you know, our main careers and passions and all that. But you know, we really appreciate you guys, because honestly, because of the Patreon, we were able to do that. And so like basically the money that we get there kind of goes directly to someone to help us produce the show that is now actually helping us make the show better and faster and more streamlined and get to more people's feedback, and that's really exciting. So thanks to all the patrons who are supporting the show.
Yay. Let's see, next up, Danny Phantom, Jedi Master Goku 94. I like that email address. Send us an email. So guys, check this out. You can search for any dialogue in all 22 films and it will quote it like a Bible verse. It says the movie and then the timestamp for where that line is in the movie. Also, it will treat each sequel as a second or third part. For example, Infinity War is three Avengers. Like this quote, "We're in the endgame now. Three Avengers, 123-54. And then he sent us the link. I thought you might want to share it with the listeners. That's amazing!
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. We will definitely post that on our Facebook. I'm going to do it right now, so I don't forget. That will be on our Facebook page if you want to see that. It's pretty awesome. That's pretty ridiculous, honestly. Like, that is some... I just said something about how Star Wars wasn't my religion, but that's some real, like, nerd stuff is your religion kind of shit right there.
And you know what? It's really... Like, it's really, really good. I'm looking at it right now. It's really great in that it doesn't just, like, randomly pick one, because there are lines like, I am Iron Man. And there's five listings here, because apparently Avengers Endgame hasn't been added in yet. There's five listings here for I am Iron Man. There's I am Iron Man, one Iron Man, 117, 12.
You gotta say Iron Man, second Iron Man, third Iron Man.
First Iron Man.
That's how the Bible verses work.
Okay, thank you, Matt. Clearly not religious.
That's the thing that, like, Trump got in big, or like in hot water for, is he's like, oh yes, let me read this, my favorite verse from 1 James, and no one says 1 James, it's 1 James or whatever. There's only one James, by the way. That I know that. 1 Peter. He was like, 1 Peter, da 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 da, and everyone's like, that's not how you say it.
You're religioning wrong. I am Iron Man. You think you're the only superhero in the world. One Iron Man. Yeah, I'm just going to keep saying it that way. 125:24. And then there's second Iron Man, 1:22. And where he said in second Iron Man, yeah, I switched it. I do what I want. I am Iron Man, the suit and Iron 1, 12:07. And then I am Iron Man in 3 Iron Man, because I'm not going to say it. 119:36. Like, it's got that's five entries amazing. Here.
It's so funny because as you're saying them, I am knowing exactly the moments you're talking about. You know, like, I'm like, oh yeah, 12 minutes in. That's that hearing where he says it. I am Iron Man.
Yep.
I am the suitor one. You can't take it away.
That's right about where Rhodey showed up and it was Don Cheadle Rhodey.
Yeah. And he says, I'm here. Get over it or something like that, which is like such a meta joke. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm here, I'm a different person, just get over it. Oh, man, we love these movies.
Yep, yep. Oh, man, and it differentiates between I can do this all day or I could do this all day. And I could do this all day is third Captain America.
Interesting.
I can do this all day is first Captain America, 10:11.
Oh, so he says it differently?
Yeah, I can do this all day. First Captain America, 94:59. And I can do this all day is fourth Avengers, 82:22.
Wow. All right. Well, that is some nerd shit. All right. We just posted it on our Facebook page. Please go check that out. Facebook.com/MCUcast. All right. Let's get on to some more feedback.
Sarah Lydia said on Twitter at MCUcast, bringing down Carol a peg could be done by introducing her complex family issues. In Margaret Stahl's Life of Captain Marvel, Carol throws off the mantle to go home and help her mom care for her brother after a car accident. We need this in the next film. We need character depth.
Yeah, and there's been a lot. We actually got a lot of feedback on this. Bringing Carol down a peg is something that some people are saying. I don't really subscribe necessarily, and maybe I've even said it myself, that they need to bring her down a peg. They just need to explain her powers. And that's something that I really don't like about two of the main female protagonists right now in the MCU, and that's Scarlet Witch and her. We just don't know how her powers work. We just know she, like, can just fly through everything and destroy everything. Like, I don't care. She can be the most powerful being in the universe. I'm fine with that. But, like, we need to know kind of how her power works. What are the rules? What can she and what can't she do, you know?
There are no rules, man.
Yeah, that therein lies the problem. And I think that's been a big problem for Scarlet Witch as a character, is we don't know what the rules of her powers are. She just, telekinesis is really all we know.
Yeah, well, there's also mind things that we saw in
Second
Avengers.
She can manipulate people's minds. She has telekinesis and telepathy of some sort. But we don't know the boundaries of those. Like, I feel like with the other characters, we all kind of have boundaries. You know, Iron Man is Iron Man, but he when he's out of the suit, he's vulnerable. And when he is running low on power, he's vulnerable. Or he can be out of weapons. They build into the actual storyline the problem, you know? With Thor, it's often like, is he worthy or not?
What defines worth?
Yeah.
We saw in Third Avengers when Iron Man was fighting against Thanos, and he was like, his suit was just being taken apart, right? It was being, Like, the sword that he had was broken, the shield that he had was torn off and thrown away. Like, all of those were nanoparticles that were part of his suit that were just being tossed aside. So when it came down to the end of it, he was shifting the nanoparticles away from parts of his suit to put them into other sections that would be defensive or be offensive even. Like, we saw that happening. We saw him having to do that to maintain himself. Like, that's part of the character, is that, you know, that limitation.
Yeah.
And having that and seeing that humanity being unmasked as he's being just taken apart that way, that's part of the depth of that scene, is to watch the humanity just be, you know, not necessarily swept aside, but just unearthed.
Yeah.
And realizing, like, shit, I'm just a person. I'm just a lowly little human on some weird extraterrestrial planet. I don't know what to do here.
Yeah. Yep. I just think that they need to clarify that with Carol Danvers. People get really offended because I think we don't want her to be powerful because she's a woman, and I don't feel that way at all. I think it's fine if she's the most powerful being. It's just, I need to know why and how, and it's something I want out of all my characters, to have a little bit of, I need some rules. I think that rules are important to these kinds of stories, because you have to operate within your own rules to make them make sense. And if you don't have any rules, there's nothing to operate within. It's kind of like horror movies. Like, you got a vampire, you got to know, you know, what its powers are, how to kill it, all that stuff, you know?
Yep. You got to know the limitations of the vampire. Like, what kind of vampire are we working with here? Is this the weird sparkly kind, or is this the sort that explodes, or, you know, is this, are we talking Lost Boys? Are we talking, you know, any of those?
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying. The phrase "bring her down a peg," I think, was mine. And it was mostly that we need to introduce conflict for Carol. Either
she needs things to overcome.
Yeah, she needs a barrier. She needs a goal and opposition. And that's the crux of every story that's ever been written, right?
Yeah.
Like, all the boring shit is when Napoleon Dynamite has nothing to overcome, you know?
Yeah. When you know, it's the Superman problem, you know, when he doesn't have something that's appropriate. And yeah, we have, anyway, let's move on. We've got more feedback on that, I think, later.
Yeah. So yeah.
I think we had a few people writing on that.
Lane hit us up on Twitter, said at MCUcast, so what if in the current MCU, the X-Men started in the 1960s, but at some point left for Genosha in, say, the 80s? And that's why they weren't ever mentioned in any MCU movies, because people had, quote-unquote, forgotten about them. Or maybe we were made to forget them.
It could absolutely be. It could absolutely be another secret. I don't know if it's going to get old, the idea of another secret society operating within the Earth, you know, especially if Namor is introduced, and then you've got, like, the Black Panther Wakanda world, and then Namor also has a secret society operating on the Earth, and we just had all of these what do they call themselves? So the sorcerers are this, like, you know, secret society that's been operating all along. It's a lot of secret societies starting to build up on this planet.
Yep. And then, you know, you got the normal humans that are like, where the hell were we looking for any of these societies? Did nobody open their eyes ever?
Yeah.
Like, I get that it's a big world, but damn.
Yeah.
That's kind of the audience perspective, I guess. Joe Wilson sent us a tweet on my birthday. Yay. At MCUcast, based on what I've heard, since I have not seen the movie as well, Jameson did bring the symbiote into Earth based on a throwaway line at the start. This is talking about Venom, the Venom movie.
Jameson brought it? Like,
yeah, J. Jonah Jameson's son was the astronaut that brought back Venom, the Venom symbiote from.
Interesting. I wonder. I wonder if we'll see J. Jonah Jameson appear in any future Venom movies, or if we're going to get that character, you know, the Spider-Man version that we saw, that would sell me on a Venom 2 for sure. If in the trailer they had J. Jonah Jameson screaming about Venom, I'd be there in a heartbeat.
We need J.K. Simmons just straight up InfoWars.
It is insane how appealing it is to me. Almost any anything can be brought to the MCU with the use of J. Jonah Jameson now. Like, I love that idea. I love that they can tell any story in the Sony verse or the like Marvel proper verse. Like, and if J. Jonah Jameson's in it, I'll probably see it.
Yeah, he's the new Leslie Bibb. He's the new WHIH reporter, you know?
Yeah, but that's an unfair comparison. Like, he is the new, you know, I don't know. He's the new Claire, maybe, of the Defenders. I don't know. He's like,
yeah,
he's the new crossover character, but more than just a crossover character, he's one that will drive me to go see the movie. To me, he's the new Iron Man. We keep asking who's going to be the new Iron Man. I think J. Jonah Jameson is the new Iron Man.
J. Jonah Jameson is the new Iron Man. Yes,
because we would go see, no matter what the movie was, people went to see it if Robert Downey Jr. was in it. I will go see anything that J. Jonah Jameson is in now.
Yep. Yep, because we know it's J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Yes. Cannot wait.
Here we go. Nailed it. Good job, everybody involved in Far From Home. You have found it.
Yep, for sure.
Tim Brown sent us a Facebook message, said, as you know, because I always message you guys, I love your podcast. That said, I just finished listening to the podcast where you were going over the feedback to the Captain Marvel review, and there's one thing I have to disagree with. One of you, don't think it was both of you, on... There was a comment that for story's sake, it would have been good for Carol to have not actually achieved her dream of being the fighter pilot she was going for, and then she would have more or less given up and done something else, helicopter pilot or whatever, and this would make her flying sequence more impactful. Thing is, that's not Carol, and that changes the character. That'd be like Steve Rogers quitting trying to get into the army. Yes, they would refuse him over and over and over again, and he could have been kept out that way, but no way in Hades would he have got in. And because of the physical and also peer pressure of others, would he give up and go home? It's not his character. I've been a fan of the character for literally several decades, hence how old I am, time flies, and her letting that happen simply would not fit her character. It's not who and what she is. Now, yes, she could have been stopped in other ways, and the movie actually alludes that, although her and Maria were good, they were not picked up for some of the better missions/projects. It's one of the other reasons Carol jumped at helping Wendy/Marvel. A, Carol liked her a lot, but also B, Carol's opportunity to participate in something big, what she signed up for. Also, it was mentioned in your podcast, you didn't see anyone react to her flying around, but that's not true. Fury specifically looks astonished when she flies by, attacking one of the bad guys and said, "What the hell was that?" I think those were his exact words. Anyway, all that said, love your podcast, and I envy you guys. You get to talk about the MCU and do a damn good and entertaining job of it. I plan to one day do a podcast myself, and you guys help inspire that. I'm 52 years old and just really dig how stuff I loved as a kid is mainstream. Hell, at my gym, I'm known as the comics guy, and between classes, they're always hitting me up with questions. Anyways, keep on doing great work.
Thank you so much, man. Idea for that story beat, Tim, was from another podcast, actually. It was from Fat Man Beyond. It was the idea of Kevin Smith's co-host, who I'm blanking on his name right now.
Mark Bernardin.
That's it. Mark Bernardin. Mark Bernardin had mentioned that as a possibility. And I did not mean to necessarily say that she gave up, but maybe was kept from being a fighter pilot and then... or kept from flying, and she always tried and wanted to, and then suddenly maybe she wasn't allowed to do combat missions, or I don't know. You could do it a lot of different ways, but that was his idea, definitely not mine. But I just liked the something was needed there in my mind, and it's not that, yeah, and obviously, yeah, Fury does say, "What the hell was that?" But it's just something about her learning to fly seemed like it just kind of went over the emotional moment of that in a weird way. I don't know. It could have been better. It could have been better is all. I don't think she would have needed to give up for sure.
Yeah, giving up, certainly not her character. I've not been a fan the way that Tim has, but I could definitely see that her giving up is not something that I understand that Carol would do. But being kept out of the military, especially in the 90s, being kept out of the military, what she wanted to do is absolutely within, like, that's within canon, that's within the world, you know, that's right. History.
I could absolutely see it being like, so to rewrite it, to fit that. Like, maybe she becomes a fighter pilot, but they keep her from actually doing combat missions or something.
Like, yeah, they're like, yeah, you're a fighter pilot, sure.
Yeah, they let her in. She's a great fighter pilot, but they don't allow females in combat for whatever, you know, which is, I don't know how appropriate that is to the time. I know there's different times where that's different. But something like that, like the uppity ups keep her from, because she's a woman, keep her from combat missions. And then suddenly she's actually flying around, you know, by her own power, destroying spaceships. And that could be a huge moment for her.
Or she's the instructor for the flight simulator and is always watching these like awful flyboys crashing planes. And she's just hating every second of it.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Something that like would that. Be, people that aren't as good
that
as
could
her.
Be fun.
Yeah. Not getting to fully fulfill her potential, because that does give her, again, it gives her character something to overcome right there. And I just think that's the thing with that character in that movie. I liked that movie, but it was missing some sort of arc for her that it was trying to tell it in a different way. I think it
was that moment was missing weight.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Anyway. Cameron Ramos on Facebook said, very random thought, and I don't know if anybody has talked about it before, but what if Marvel did it so that the Netflix shows take place in the same universe as Loki's Disney Plus show, which would be a way they could bring the Defenders to Disney Plus in the future?
Very possible.
I would love to see Loki blip out into like 2012 or later New York and have like Matt Murdock just being like, what the hell? And like start trying to hit him, but he's just dodging the whole time.
Yeah, man. I would love to see Loki interact with the Defenders.
Gah. Yep. Yep. That would be so good. Andre Astrom sent us an email, said, hi, I love to listen to your podcast and all the theories and reviews. Keep up the good work. After hearing some theories on your podcast about how the X-Men and Fantastic Four might be introduced, I've built up some theories of my own. Since I think the core story of X-Men is so important, that the mutants have been oppressed for a long time by society, that they can't just change that without losing the very soul of the X-Men story. So I really hope they don't build in as like gamma ray radiation thing after the snapper snaps. Also, it would have been strange if this has happened in the same universe all along without even being mentioned in the previous movies. Instead, I hope that Doctor Strange, as parallel/multiple universes is kind of his thing, he might plant the seed in how the X-Men end up in the same universe as we've been following in the MCU. Then there's no blocker for the story about mutants being oppressed by society for a long period of time. But I think that the probability is more likely that Fantastic Four is introduced in Doctor Strange 2, since they also, in the comics, often deal with parallel and multiple universes. What do you think? Kind regards, Andre.
Yeah, I think those are all great points. And that's the question we're all asking. Like, how are they going to resolve this issue of they apparently don't exist, apparently.
Apparently.
And now they will. So how do you resolve that? How? And there's a lot of interesting things happening. I really like the theory of it being it being Scarlet Witch who affects the universe before the next Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah, I like having the Scarlet Witch series kind of lead into the events of Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Because that's a that's a really cool thing to have the small screen affect the big screen like that. And that's, you know, that's Disney really committing, or that's Marvel and Disney really committing to this whole thing and having that kind of interconnectivity.
Mm-hmm.
Although it would be pretty cool if they tweaked Galactus just a little bit, and instead of being like a consumer of worlds, he's a consumer of universes. And the universe that he's consuming is the one where the X-Men live, and they escape to here. And having him consume their universe and, like, Doctor Strange not being able to stop it, and then Galactus sees our universe because of where they've escaped to and Doctor Strange trying to help, instead of helping to save their universe and stop Galactus, all he does is send up a flare, and Galactus is targeting our universe.
Yeah, that could work. I like it.
I mean, but that's so similar to Dormammu. I don't know.
Yeah,
don't
but know. when you got characters that are going from universe to universe, destroying universes, there's going to be basically the role of Doctor Strange, if he continues to do his role, that's always going to be what he's doing, is stopping the guy from the next universe over, coming into ours, you know, doing bad things.
Protecting your reality.
Yeah. Which is why I'm really excited to see what they do with Doctor Strange, or second Doctor Strange, with the what's oh gosh what's the character in the his nemesis who's becoming his nemesis at the end of the movie.
Mordo
yeah. I just thought I love Chiwetel Ejiofor. I think that's going to be awesome, and I hope that continues to be a big part of the next movie.
Too many sorcerers. Yeah, that's after having watched Doctor Strange recently again, like I'm wanting to see Chiwetel Ejiofor come back and tell me about how there are too many sorcerers in the world.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Adara Glader sent us an email. My friends and I have a debate going on about Captain Marvel. Me and one other friend think that Carol is way too OP, and that's a huge problem that needs to be resolved for the MCU in order for them to have Galactus or any serious threat from the Kree or the Skrulls. My other friends say that because Carol is protecting the rest of the universe, she has to be this powerful. Any thoughts? Also, why wouldn't Carol show up for either of the Guardians movies? I love your podcast so much. Keep up the amazing work.
We've definitely covered it, I think, I don't think she necessarily needs to be less powerful. I just think they need to explain her powers. They need to give her rules, and they need to
give it engagement
stakes. Sure. That's not what that means, but yes.
I know. It was just, it's a military term, and she's in the military, so obviously they track together.
Sure, man. Sure.
Yeah. I'm going to keep believing that as long as you let me. but just giving her stakes and something to overcome that's what we need to see.
Yeah.
And I could see that the theory that, you know, she's protecting the rest of the universe or the rest of the galaxy or whatever, like that's fine. You know, she can be super powerful and be doing that job. But again, how do you make a solo movie about her that helps us to identify with that character and see those stakes happening? Like that's the question for the next one, you know?
Yeah.
We had Drew from the Andy Joe Show send us another email. Hi guys, I was just rewatching Black Panther for the first time since Endgame, and I noticed something. Before he dies, Killmonger asks to be thrown into the ocean. In Endgame, Okoye mentions underwater earthquakes, possibly hinting towards Namor the Submariner. What if, when the Wakandans threw him into the ocean, Namor found him and nursed him back to health? Michael B. Jordan was great in Black Panther, and they killed him too soon. But if he's nursed back to health, then we could get both Killmonger and Namor in the same movie. Let me know what you think. Keep up the great work. Drew.
We're always talking about making death matter. But I would be totally down for this.
Yeah.
He's one of the few characters I'm just like, don't let him die. He was so good. I just love Michael B. Jordan so much. And I want more of that character. I want more. And I want it now.
You know? I want it all. And I want it now.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, I mean, getting that character back, it might be difficult to really have Namor shine, though, if he's being overshadowed by the absolute powerhouse that Michael B. Jordan is as Killmonger.
Yeah, maybe. It depends on who they put in that role and how they structure the movie. But I would love to see, you know, Namor come out as the big villain and then Killmonger, you know, leading sort of a revenge mission towards T'Challa, but then maybe he turns the corner and he realizes what Namor is willing to do or something, and then we get, you know, Killmonger coming back from the dark side, sort of, and making a decision to help Wakanda, which he always wanted to do. He just had different plans of how to do it, you know?
Yeah.
I think that could be a really interesting story if you've got those two Killmonger and Black Panther working side by side at the end to stop Namor. You know, that could be awesome.
Oof, yeah. I really like bad guy betrayal. Like, bad guy betraying bad guy kind of thing. Like, antagonist betrayal in movies. I don't know why, it's just, that's the trope that I really, really like. I'm like, ha! Bad guy got betrayed, you jackass. Like, I don't know why, but, like, if that were the case, I would die. I would just absolutely die in that movie. Yeah. And it'd be okay. Let's see. Next up, looks like Spencer Whaley sent us an email. Black Widow movie ideas. I like ideas for movies. He says, "Hey guys, my wife and I were speculating the purpose of introducing a Black Widow movie now as opposed to before Endgame. It doesn't make much sense to round out her character if we already know her fate. I'm thinking her movie would play into some potential top secret stuff that plays into the MCU's next big story. Like maybe some Skrulls popping up between the events of Captain Marvel, 1995, and Iron Man 2, 2010. And in the meantime, pay homage to Black Widow's sacrifice and make it mean that much more. I think we will definitely find out what actually happened in Budapest. Also, Red Skull mentioned Black Widow's father's name was Ivan. I know that's probably a pretty common Russian name, but I thought of Ivan Vanko, aka Whiplash, from Iron Man 2. Both characters were introduced in this movie, and maybe part of Black Widow's mission was to kill Ivan, but she didn't know it was her father. Also, both use electricity as a weapon. Again, could be nothing, but I found it interesting. Love the podcast. Until next time. Spencer Whaley."
I dug that. That's
fun.
It is fun. We've had a couple people write in and ask about Ivan being Ivan Vanko, and I don't know how that tracks, like, age-wise. I think that would track, though. I think he could be her father.
I mean, maybe. I don't... He seems a little old, but
he could really? Be. You think old? I was thinking young.
Oh, that's what I meant. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I was like,
words are hard right now. It's a long day.
Right, man.
He seems like he's not quite old enough for that because he's Tony's age.
Right. You know, well, we don't really know.
Their fathers were working together.
He could be 5 to 10 years older than Tony. He could have had her when he was young, you know. Like, she is definitely a good bit younger than Tony. So, you know, it's definitely possible. Like, she's in her maybe 30s in Iron Man 2, and Downey's, like, definitely in his 50s in that movie. So, like, it's clearly possible that – and we don't know how old Ivan is compared. Like, we know they're close because their fathers work together, but they could have been 20 years apart in age. We just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. They actually very easily can be. Scarlett Johansson currently is 34 years old.
Really? Oh, man. I didn't know she was that young.
Wow. Yeah. She was born in 1984.
God, I'm older than Scarlett Johansson. I don't know why that disturbs me. It does, though.
I don't either, man. It's really funny for me, though, that you're so affected by that.
I'm surprised. I think of movie stars as older than me, and they're clearly not.
Because you're looking up to them. You have to look up to them. They're obviously older than you. Ah, that's funny. I'm glad I looked that up.
That made me sad.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm all right. I'm good. Kara Sparman sent us a message on Twitter, catching up on your Endgame re-release podcast. Completely agree with your point of finishing the effects if you're going to ask people to pay to watch it again. I also would have liked to see that Stan Lee tribute the first time around. I think it would have had a bigger impact and been really appreciated by fans, especially in the first 2 weeks. At the end of the day, I would again agree with you that the movie was worth seeing again a sixth time for me, but not for the additional footage. Thanks for your podcast as always.
Yeah, I was a little kind to that re-release when I did my re-release podcast, because honestly, I just enjoyed the movie so much, and it's a great movie. It's just fun to watch. But upon further reflection, I'm kind of pissed off about the re-release. I don't know if I've said that on. I think you weren't here either of the time I've talked about it. But no,
you did mention that you were a little pissed off.
I'm pretty pissed off about it. I think it really was just using the fan base to get a few more dollars and not really providing more value. Like, and the thing is, if they had provided like some real stuff at the end, if they'd really given us like some deleted, some good, better deleted scenes or more deleted scenes or whatever, more of us would have gone to see it. They would have made more money, but instead they just like called it a re-release, barely added anything. It's pretty annoying.
I'm sorry, sir.
May be one of the shittier things Marvel's done. That and firing James Gunn. They're not doing too well this year.
It's a rough year for Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Bad decision.
Wasn't firing James Gunn last year?
I don't know, man. I think Doctor Strange was just a few minutes ago.
That's fair. Matt, not a great judger of time.
No, I'm not. Very bad at it.
It's kind of funny that you would be a bad judge of time in relation to Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Who had the time stone. Nerdytastic. Yep. Yeah, and you're a Whovian? Like, come on, man. Maybe that's why you're so bad at time, is because being a Whovian, you're just like, I'll go anywhere in time I feel like. It feels like it was just yesterday.
Yeah.
That's totally it.
I was born yesterday.
Oh, the Vision. That was in Second Avengers. I'm going to refer to him all that way.
Yeah, that was Second Avengers about 238 or so.
Second Avengers 126:19.
Oh, that was not close.
Mm. Not close at all.
I thought it was closer to the end. Never mind. If I'd called it, I would have been legendary.
That would have been amazing.
All right, what does Nerdytastic have to say?
Several tweets from Nerdytastic here. Adam Sucast, the way to make characters like Carol interesting is to understand that they are neither omnipresent nor omnipotent. Test the limits of those powers by making the hero choose between two impossible options, force them to either fail or come up with a third option that isn't a deus ex machina and still has consequences. That's fair. Similar to the Spider-Man thing where, you know, save your girl or save the kids.
Yeah.
And he has to, you know, do the swing under the bridge sort of thing.
Yeah, something has to happen. I agree with her completely. But I also, that's the same thing they always try to do with Superman, and I very rarely find his stories compelling.
That's fair.
I like the character, don't find his stories compelling.
Well, there's other problems with Superman. It's that he's not using all of his powers all the time. Like, if you're faster than a speeding bullet, like, you can do most things. Like, you can be rather rapid in your solution of whatever problem. And if all you're doing is standing there staring at them while they're, you know, doing bad stuff, then you're not using your great power very responsibly. Anyway, Nerdytastic said again, or said further, Adam Sucast, yeah, all the stuff done to Despair was pretty brutal, I'll give you that. But you know what's just a tad more brutal? Trafficking humans.
Yeah, I agree, and I think she's making the point that he deserved it. And I totally agree. He did deserve it. Like, if you're going by tit for tat, or like, you know, eye for an eye, yeah, he deserved worse. But that's normally the dividing line between hero and villain. You know, it's not about retribution or that. It's about like stopping them and getting them justice. Not necessarily the retribution, which, you know, it was just sort of dark. It's dark to see your heroes do dark things, which, sorry, if you guys don't know, we're talking about Cloak and Dagger, which we may do another Cloak and Dagger episode soon, but that's, yeah.
You need to go take a voodoo tour, and then we'll do Cloak and Dagger again.
I do need to take a voodoo tour.
Further things that Nerdytastic said about Cloak and Dagger, I think I'm okay assuming Ty stopped that human trafficker at the end. I didn't need them to shoot that scene and interrupt the tone of that ending montage. And then there was an apology. It said, sorry, I was feeling kind of salty last week when live tweeting the podcast. I didn't, I didn't know that people were live tweeting at us.
Oh yeah,
during our podcast.
You can tell when people do that because they'll have like five or six tweets and they'll be in the order of how we talked about things. Yeah, it's really funny.
Ah.
Which is cool. I dig it. People respond. People care enough to respond is amazing. But it's funny when they do that. And then sometimes it'll be like the second tweet will be like, never mind, you guys got there. Like something like that. We often don't include those, but like, yeah, there'll be stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll be got
like,
there.
Hey, you didn't say this. And they'll be like, oh, never mind. Jeff just brought it up.
Yep, it's always Jeff. Always Jeff brought it up.
Which is the only way to really respond to podcasts. I do it all the time where I'm like, I need to write into that podcast and say that thing, and then I forget. I just need to do it right when I think about it.
No, man, you take notes.
Yeah. Take physical paper notes.
Yes, in a notebook, and then take a picture of it and tweet that picture at that podcast. No,
print it out, mail it to them.
Yep, get their mailing address.
Yeah. All right, what does Tori Brewer have to say?
Tori says, Shuri was the one that was working Vision before Thanos ended up killing him and then snapped, which caused Shuri to be dusted. So there was unlikely anyone in the 5 years who was able to finish bringing him back without the stone, or anyone who cared about doing it because they were now missing half their people and their king and had other stuff going on.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we've talked a lot about how are they going to bring Vision back. It seems like Shuri could pretty easily do it. In
yeah,
some
probably.
Form, at least.
I mean, she did say to Dr. Banner, like, I'm sure you did your best. And he's just like, God, ouch. Like, the look of just, like, being the what is it? I forget the word. The word escapes me. But he looks so put off. Like, I can't, what? Who? Okay, yeah, sure. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry that one of my 7 PhDs wasn't in flying alien spacecraft. That sort of thing. Tori continues with, or says in a different message, time travel rules in the movie say that, this is about Endgame now, time travel rules in the movie say that going back in time doesn't change your future, it creates a new timeline. So when Cap goes back to return the stones, if he gets back to each past moment before the stones were taken, there would be two sets of stones in that reality at that moment. Couldn't he just stop the Endgame Avengers in those past timelines from taking the stones so that everything plays out correctly and the stones are never missing? Because that wouldn't change Cap or anyone else's future. They always get the stones from the past, but now Cap could return those duplicate stones back to his present, and the main reality would have a new set of stones to replace the ones that Thanos had destroyed. Maybe it creates a paradox or something. I don't know. Just a thought I had.
Yeah, it does create a paradox. The problem is if you change what they do, you're not fixing that timeline. You're creating another timeline. So if they go back and meet themselves and stop themselves from taking the stones, then they create a version of events where that happened instead of the first thing happening. And so, yeah, it's a thing, man. It's a knot. And like the writers and directors of the movies don't even agree on what all this time travel stuff, the way the time travel mechanics work. So the more I think about it, the more upset I get. So let's move on.
Don't make Matt think of time travel.
They were really trying to do like a tight version of time travel, and then they couldn't. Apparently, they didn't talk between the writers and the directors. Like, make a decision, people.
We got Sarah Dorks a lot on Twitter. So first off, I low-key love-hate you guys for calling the Hawkeye watches his kids dust thing months ago, LOL.
Oh, sorry about that. We didn't know.
Sorry.
We had no idea. We were just guessing.
I didn't want it to happen. I didn't want it. Like, I thought that I did. I did not.
Like, that's one thing about this show. We do so much talking about theorizing that often I'm in a movie, I'm like, oh, then I see now that this is going to happen, this thing we talked about, because, you know, whatever.
When they opened it, I called it in the moment. I was like, oh no.
Oh yeah. We were pretty sure that was happening. And then it, as soon as they were the first thing on screen, I was like, oh yep, here it is. That's the,
here
this
it is
the scene.
Here's my tear ducts opening up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Like it was, I didn't want it. I didn't want it. It's like, I didn't actually want it, Marvel. Please stop. Sarah continues with, but just finished listening to the recap and was surprised you guys didn't notice Harley Keener, Iron Man 3, at Tony's lake house at the end. Could Iron Lad be making a showing in the next phase with Cassie and all? At all?
I don't know. Yeah, we have since discussed Harley Keener being there. We just didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
He's so much older.
Who's that kid?
Who's that teenager? Yeah, that's the thing. He's not a kid anymore.
I mean, he's still a kid, but it's like, who's that larger than Harley Keener kid? Because Harley Keener has been frozen in time since Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
He's in stasis until any...
until needed.
Change. Yeah. Until he needs to come back.
I guess he was blipped or he wasn't blipped. I don't know.
I would say he was not blipped considering how much he's aged.
Okay.
Or he could have blipped.
I don't know how many years it's been since Iron Man 3.
It was right after... It was the Christmas after 2012's Avengers.
So yeah, it's been seven years, so he might have just not blipped. Maybe he did, though. Maybe he's like in his mid-20s. He looked old to me.
Yeah, maybe.
Late teens could definitely be possible. Or early 20s. Okay. What's Steve Bruner got to say?
Oh, man. Steve Bruner says, I'm being Team Thanos, LOL. I think he gets the wrong judgment. He actually destroyed the stones because he didn't want the temptation of doing something that bad again. Pretty honorable, in my opinion. Thanks, guys.
I don't think he destroyed them because he wanted to do something that bad again. He destroyed them because he thought the power would corrupt him.
Well, he said all they did was serve as a temptation.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah, so like he'd be tempted to do more, but he always had one goal. So I don't think he has a problem when you say something that bad again. I don't think he thinks it was bad at all.
I think that the way that I took it in the moment is that he was saying all they would do is serve as a temptation to bring people back from, you know, the culling.
Oh, see, that's an interesting take on it. I didn't think that at all.
Yeah, that's how I interpreted it on first viewing.
Huh.
He didn't want people to be tempted to try to undo what he did, so he destroyed the thing that allowed him to do it.
I took it only as him being tempted by the power, like, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure that he also understood that. And he might have meant that. He might have meant it both ways.
Maybe. You know?
He's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's the thing. That's what's so interesting. I do think I'm not Team Thanos, but I understand where Thanos is coming from, and there's those lines like that one, and like the line where he talks about how he's going to do it by random because he doesn't want to make the decision for everyone or whatever. Like, those lines give it some real... I don't know, give him complexity in a way that, like, he's trying to do the right thing. He is a man with a code. He may be wrong, like, to the things that he's ending with, but, like...
He has made rules, and he plans to follow them.
Yeah, he's a man with a code. I dig it.
Yep. God, so much depth to Thanos.
Mm-hmm. He's thick for sure.
Yeah, I get it. It's because he's got a lot of muscles on him. Big guy. Big old grimace. Dadrian Coles tweeted at us in response to Endgame, said, this entire movie was amazing. I'll keep it brief and boil it down to my top three moments and clips. Number three, Professor Hulk. I'm wearing shirts now! number two, Cap straight abusing Thanos with Mjolnir and the shield. And number one, Tony with the final, I am Iron Man. Thanks for keeping me company with cast and keep up the great work. P.S. If it makes it to the cast, it would make my day. I love hearing opinions and headcanons from people around the country and world. I tune in from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Sweet. Well, thank you, Dadrian. Appreciate you. Those are three great moments.
Yes.
I think that is unfortunately where we're going to have to cut it off for tonight. Again, we still have so many more things and people making great points and great headcanons and thoughts, and we want to do a lot more of this now that we're kind of content free for a few months. So we're going to do more of these and do some more commissioned episodes, and we'll be back with you real soon. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or call us at 573-CAST-MCU. We love you. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.